Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. I am your host, Levon, and we got sort of a special guest, Cousin.
Hey, you.
Man, what's the word? What's the word?
Hey, can't call it, baby. Enjoying this lovely Saturday once again. You know, ready to rock the show with
okay.
You. What's up with you, baby?
Well, you know, I thought the Federales was looking for you or something. I thought you had Drew this week, so that's what's up.
No,
that's
man, they let
up.
Me go this week. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good. It's all good. All right, well, Brit X. Now, what is it? Why do you care? Why do we care? What are we talking about? Yada, you, yada, yada. Well, first and foremost, if you're a grown-ass person, be it man or woman, your 401k just took a hell of a hit yesterday. Depending on how much money you had in the bank, it could have took up to a $2,000 hit yesterday just because the Brits decided to leave the EU. Now, that might seem like small potatoes, depending on how much money you had in your 401k. To a lot of people, that's a whole lot of bad money. It is a continual issue, though, because nobody knows how long this marriage is really going to be in the divorce phase. So stock markets will be hesitant about anybody's GDP right now. Why does that matter to you? That directly correlates to jobs. That directly correlates to travel. Right now, the British pound took a clobbering the other day. Now, let me tell you all something. I've shared this on the show before. I'm not running away from it. I have a lot of British in me. I was 18 years old when I left the United States of America and went over to the UK for the very first time. And that played and has played a huge part in my life. And my thought processes, the way I approach just about everything, man, but especially life and relationships. Oh, my God. My perspective totally changed when I got to Europe. I was a young man, admittingly, and I grew up to become a grown man when I got there. So that's what's up. Because, again, I'm British. I said I got a lot of British in me. Decided to leave. Now, it was a 52% to 48% vote. 17,410,742, roughly a little over, roughly 17.5, decided in favor to leave. 16,141 decided to stay. Please bear with me, family, because this shit is huge. This has a whole lot of implications on everything. When I was in the UK back in the day, the pound was killing the dollar. I mean, we got what is called a COLA allowance. COLA, for you all that aren't military or federal, means cost of living allowance. And my cost of living allowance was a nice damn piece of change. Let me tell you something. It really was, because the dollar was not worth a dollar. It wasn't equivalent to a dollar in the UK. So if you had to buy anything off of the military installation, which was considered Little America, you had to pay in pounds. And it was like, dude, I mean, it was 2-1 at one point. It was 250. I mean, it was horrible. The pound killed the dollar's ass. 185. It was rough. Right now, the pound is trading like 140-ish, somewhere in that realm, which is a hell of a lot better. It doesn't bode well for those stationed over there right now because you're not getting as much money. But, hey, your money does go longer when you convert it over and stuff. But on Friday, the markets opened up after Thursday night trading, where the pound hovered around 133 to the pound hovering around 136. Dog, that's a lot of damn money. I mean, think about this not in dollar references. Think about this in thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollar references. So now
it was like a 16% difference, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you have $100,000, right? And now all of a sudden you have 84. Like, what the hell? Overnight you lost 16 grand.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. Not to lose 16 grand from going to sleep and just waking the hell up. That's a lot of money. You dig what I'm saying to you? The Dow fell 611 points. The Nikkei, that's Japan's index, it fell 7.9 points. The Hang Seng, that's Hong Kong's index, that fell 2.9 points. Are we understanding what's going on here? Crude fell. The only things, multitude of things, that went up were treasury bonds, because whenever economies are hesitant or nervous, everyone flows to the U.S. and buys treasury bonds, right? And gold. Gold is always stable. Gold is the saving grace and saving factor. So folks bought gold. They bought gold and they bought U.S. Treasury bonds in bulk, just gobbling them up. Give me. And that's where we are right now. So if you were in the market to buy a bond, a treasury bond, yeah, that mug just went up on your ass. Because the basic economics, supply and demand. There's more demand. Guess what? We raise the price to keep the supply at a decent level, because there's only but so many to go around. So if there's a rush on them, then we have to jack up the price so there's some left over for us to utilize where we need to utilize them at. So that's what it is. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, he resigned. He's not gone instantaneously. It's not going to work like that. It'll be a couple months. He'll probably be gone in September, August, September, maybe even October, depending. Again, a lot of this shit isn't figured out. We just don't know. We don't know what this is going to look like. Go ahead, fam.
Yo, I mean, it's crazy. Like you said, a lot of it's not figured out. This was like something that was like boiling, you know, under the surface for some years. And then in the midst of, you know, us Americans watching, you know, the sit-in and stuff like that, boom, next thing you know, breaking news, you know, the vote to stay in vote. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And just like that, like you said, in less than 24 hours, it was overnight, but in the sense of less than 24 hours, the whole entire world changed economically. And everybody's like rushing and scrambling around like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? But it's still not over. There's still, like you said, at least 6 months before everybody is able to stabilize and understand where we sit at and, you know, what's going on and what's the way ahead for the UK being its own nation. You know, and definitely was a state of emergency in a sense for everybody who was paying attention to it, because again, it's been talks about it for years. You know, the talks came up again, you know, early in the year about, you know, the possibility of the UK succeeding in a sense, and here it is, and now everybody's trying to figure out what the hell is going on. What the hell just happened? Like, oh my God.
Okay, this is an allegiance and an alliance. Understand what the EU is. This is an allegiance and an alliance that goes back to post World War II. This is you know, folks sitting in the room saying, look, how can we not go through this again? Because, look, we've done this twice. Let's not do it a fourth damn third time. How can we not go through this again? So folks sat down and said, okay, let's become more brothers. Let's really sit down at the table. Let's eat together. Let's sleep together. Let's learn together. And all of these things happened. So universities were established. I mean, just a university strictly dedicated to the leadership and the future leadership of Europe, where all these jokers went to school with one another, where they learned from one another, they learned about one another, they learned the same history, economics, yada, yada, yada. They structured common messages. So now, you know, it's not just David Cameron. Oh, that's my man, Dave. We were roommates back in freshman year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your man right there. Now, you may be his roommate from the Netherlands, and he's from the UK, but that's still your man. So when you get on the phone, it's like, oh, yo, what's up, dude? Oh, dude, look, check it out. We trying to do this over here, blah, blah, blah. Yo, I ain't really feeling that, dude. I ain't feeling that. Oh, you ain't feeling it? I'm not really feeling it. Oh, all right, well, since you ain't feeling it, let me go back and let me reconsider. So you get these types of bonds and true straight-up relationships that you didn't have before, which led to World War One and World War Two. You dig what I'm saying to you? So now, and throughout the, I'm skipping all kinds of shit, because throughout the years there were treaties and conferences and this meeting here, that meeting there, and all, da 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 da, boom. So now we fast forward to the early 90s, and boom, here comes the official terminology of the European community, the EU, as it later became known as. It's really formalized now. Boom, everybody's together. So the proposal came up with the one currency, hence the euro, right? Because you're very familiar with the euro. They didn't have the euro when I was there. But the one currency ordeal came through, like, yo, let's get rid of the mark, the franc, the pound, yada, 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 yada. And the British were like, yeah, nah, we ain't feeling that one. Now, we gonna go with all the rest of this shit, but we gonna keep our money because the pound is strong, and the pound has always been strong. So they had, we on board with 99.87, but we gonna leave that 0.113 right there on the table. Nah, we ain't going with that. And they didn't. So they at least left their currency out of the mix. But they brought to the table a lot of people and a strong economy. This was the European Union's second strongest economy behind, obviously, Germany. Germany's killing them. Germany's the shit. If Germany goes, the entire European Union falls apart because nobody has the money like Germany has. Nobody, to include Great Britain. You know. So anyhow, so these cats opt out, and it was some ugliness in this thing. It really was. And what got me, first off, was Northern Ireland. Now, everyone's on Scotland, and how Scotland came out was like, yo, we ain't feeling this. You know what I'm saying? If Great Britain wants to do this, that's fine, but they're not speaking for the Scots. But Northern Ireland said the same thing. Sinn Féin came out and said, yo, London does not have our best interests at heart. We're not feeling this vote. we do not agree. Not at all. So there may be some division even amongst them in the very near future. The breakdown of the vote goes, the British voted 48-52 in Britain to leave, in England 47-53 to leave, London 60-40 to leave, Scotland 62-38 to leave, Wales 48-53 to leave, Northern Ireland 56-44 to leave. And that's how that all went down. So, now France is calling for a French exit. The Netherlands, some folks in the Netherlands are calling for the Netherlands to exit. This was all brought upon by the Leave movement. And the Leave movement had some faces on it. One of the main faces was Nigel Farage. That's his name. I can't make this shit up. He's actually the head of the UK Independent Party. Now, he's not an official member of the Leave campaign, but he became the face of the movement as this all went down. Now, immigration played a huge part in this debate. A lot of folks that were interviewed talked about how they felt immigrants were coming in, getting a pass, were able to surpass them, so on and so forth. It sounded a whole lot like what Donald Trump has been spewing. Would you not agree, fam?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know, man. Since you added Donald Trump into it, you know, this is why as he landed into Scotland, you know, he's getting, you know, called a cunt, you know, called, you know, people slamming him as soon as he got off the bag on the Trump jet. A lot of this plays a part into American politics today and what we're going through, what we're experiencing. And it says a lot. I mean, you know, again, like I was saying, as far as the next 6 months, because if we think about it, as far as states in our union considering to depart our union, you know, this may give them credence to, you know, have that argument again. And again, when you have somebody like Donald Trump in the fold, that, you know, the momentum, the fuel is there for something like this to happen in our union, in other unions. This is a big precedent that's been set again for other nations in the future to actually entertain the idea and actually just take that chance. I mean, really, in a sense, what does a lot of places have to lose if they've done the research and they've done the planning and they're looking at making that move? They've already established, you know, they've already identified the pros and the cons. If the pros outweigh the cons, then it's always something that's worth doing. So again, looking at our union, these discussions that have been had before, have been made before. And again, when you have somebody like Donald Trump in the fold saying the things that he's saying and coming up with all the policies that he's coming up with and all the noise and the chatter that he has around his campaign, you know, this is something that might be entertaining the United States in the future.
And I thought about that. You know, the question, though, in my mind is, are we primed to leave the U.N.? Because there have been a lot of back-channel chatter about that. Like, it's time to leave the U.N., it's useless, we get involved in more shit than we need to because we are a member of it, and we have to protect all these other jokers. It's a nationalist call, but it's also a call of isolationalism. And I heard some folks in power and others that were not in power who spoke on the BritEx movement, that this is not a case about isolationism. We're not trying to isolate. God damn, I can't get that out of my mouth this morning. We're not trying to isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. We're not trying to isolate ourselves from the rest of Europe. What we don't want to do, however, is allow Belgium to dictate how, because Belgium was the center of the EU. We don't want to allow Belgium to dictate how we should live here in Great Britain, so on and so forth. So, it's like, that really echo the calls to me that I've been hearing here as of the past 5 to 7 years, maybe even a little longer than that, honestly, with the need and the urgency that the discussion needs to come forward about us leaving the UN. And I shouldn't say UN, I'm sorry, NATO. I apologize. I didn't mean UN. I meant NATO. NATO.
And President Obama, you know, unfortunately, and this is what's hectic about it also, this comes at the end of President Obama's presidency. You know, he's already, you know, put it out there that, hey, that they support the UK's decision, and our bond remains with NATO. But, bro, you're going to be out of office come January. You know what I'm saying? So this the next president, hopefully, you know, God willing, is not Donald Trump. You know, if it is Donald Trump, then that alliance, I feel, is threatened because of his outlook on Islam and border control and stuff like that. Like, he doesn't seem like he wants to play by the rules of NATO and the rules of the UN, for that matter. I mean, you mentioned the UN a few times, but he seems to be wanting to go against the grain with everything that we've been governed by over the last, you know, 100 years or so. So that may be a play later on in the next couple of years. You know, will we leave NATO? You know, will we, like you said, again, you said about mistake a few times, but will we, you know, not no longer be a part of the UN? Will we not, you know, follow the daggone Geneva Convention? It's a lot of things that this ballsy move that the UK did that might, you know, implicate some other countries. You know, hey, we need to be liberated in every way, shape, or form. You know, some people like Donald Trump might feel like, you know, we've, you know, handcuffed ourselves by having these alliances and stuff and playing by the rules that cause us to be in a position that we are in. For a place like the UK, is not as much about security and safety as it is for the United States. For them, it's more about deliberation as far as money and politics and stuff like that. But when you talk about this type of move as it pertains to the U.S., it's about national security. It's about the war on ISIS. And then it's about money. It's laid on down the line. I mean, of course, money, you know, those things are going to bring more money to the U.S., like war right. always does. But ultimately, yep. it's about national security, you know, our foreign policies. It's about the war against ISIS. It's about border control. It's about all these different things that we have to kind of worry about our relationships and our alliances that stop us from making these certain decisions. And for right now, it's actually good for us right now that we have it, but we have somebody like Donald Trump that comes in the fold, his opinions are a lot different. His opinions are the polar opposite of what all the presidents that preceded him or the candidates that preceded him actually are willing to go by. You know, he's that rebellious child that want to break all the rules and prove that, hey, I don't have to follow all the rules to be right. I don't have to follow all the rules to be successful. He's made his claim and his fortune on breaking the rules.
Sticking with him, I want to slide back to what you were talking about his comments. So I was on Twitter. Yes, I was on Twitter. I was live on Twitter because I was lighting his ass up. So Trump.
Real quick, on CNN, news flashes came up. Race for the White House. Trump says on Brexit, America is next.
Okay, so his dumbass, and I call him a dumbass because he is. So his dumbass took the podium the morning after Brexit. The morning after. And he talked a good 5 minutes and didn't say one damn thing about Brexit. Nothing. He said nothing. And I'm sitting there like, yo, are you kidding me right now? You are in ground zero. This is your chance to really be presidential. And he passed. This further tells me he is so afraid of becoming the president of the United States of America that he's willing to do anything to doom himself and win. That's what it says to me. That's what it says to me. The shakeup, you know, ditching your campaign manager 5 months before the election. What is this, June, July, August, September, October? 4 months. 4 months before the damn vote, the election? You're going to ditch your campaign manager? Why? Because your children are bitching? Your wife is bitching? Really? You didn't see this months ago? You should have ditched that dude months ago. You should have had a successor. I'm going to let you get in there. You should have had a successor in place to where it looked publicly and privately like this was the natural course of action. One man down, next man steps up. It's the same person. It's the same movement, just a new face. That's it. Somebody should have been his shadow so much so that people would have been like, oh, well, only thing that happened was, you know, they put Tony in place versus David. That's it. That's all that happened. It was no big deal. You know, same team, same playbook, blah, 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 blah. But no, now you're on this freaking hut, and he's lying. He had someone else step up and step in. That's bullshit. You had someone come in raw, almost at the finish line of this damn race, to try to help you become president of the United States of America. Nah, dog. Now, someone was talking about his money this morning, saying, look, if you're Donald Trump, you're sitting back saying, hey, I spent very little money. I have very little cash in hand. I'm the presumptive nominee. I knocked all these other jokers out the box, and I'm still pulling close when it comes to Hillary. You're absolutely right, but that's only because up until yesterday, Bernie didn't say what he said yesterday, which was, I am going to vote for Hillary. He has not endorsed Hillary yet because he has not ended his campaign yet. But as soon as he ends his campaign and officially endorses Hillary, his folks will jump on board and vote for Hillary. You got Barbara Bush coming out talking about she doesn't know how women can vote for Trump.
Right.
Barbara Bush!
Yeah.
The matriarch of the Bush family. She comes out and says, I don't know how people can vote for Donald Trump. Dog, that was a huge blow. That wasn't small. That wasn't small. This woman is the major. They look, if you don't like Bush Sr., if you don't like Bush Jr., 9 times out of 10, you have a favorable opinion of Mama Bush. And Mama Bush just came out and said, I'm voting for Hillary. I can't vote for that clown. Hello? Women and young folks are going to carry this election, along with black folks. They're going to carry this election. If we stay our asses home, women, young folks, and black folks, if we stay our asses home, we are doomed. If we don't believe that this shit can happen, we are doomed. Get your asses up. Get your asses out. You better vote. I'm sorry. Go ahead, fam.
No, but we're going to the finish line. We still have the convention next month. So definitely, this decision to fire your campaign manager is definitely not going to help your constituents support you. Because I know they sit there and like, yo, what is this fool doing? Like, come on, man. Like, you know, we're trying so hard to rally around you. We're trying. We don't want to. But we're trying to find all the reasons in the world to rally around you, Mr. Trump. We're trying. We're looking hard. We're looking high and low. We're going deep into the valleys to find some kind of support that we can look in the mirror and be like, hey, we did the right thing. And then you fire your campaign manager. Right, like you said, a few months before like the actual election, but we still have to get through the convention. So we got to present at the convention that, hey, look, this is our guy. We support him. But, dude, you don't have an effective campaign manager. And you let him go not because of good reason, but because, like you said, because your son, because your wife.
Personal reasons.
They're bitching and complaining. Yeah, personal reasons you let him go. And you want to be our nominee. So
I got to cut you off. Because we need a moment of silence as we pray for Paul Ryan. And I tweeted this yesterday. I said, please pray for Paul Ryan because he is officially on suicide watch right now for the very reasons you just said, Cuzzo. Because you are looking far, deep, and wide to support this idiot. And here he is at the podium in Scotland, which by chance just happens to be a part of the UK, the day after, they just took a monumental, a historical vote to separate from the EU, and your ass is up there talking about lighthouses and how you've changed the fixtures and changed the furniture, and, you know, it was in really bad shape when we first got here, but when I bought it, I decided to, you know, fix it up pretty nice and make it more or less the focal point for the entire golf course. And my mother, she's from here. And when I was younger, you know, we used to come back and she'd sit here with her friends and they would just enjoy their day out here on the green. And she would come and tell us stories about the old country. I'm like, what? What in the hell does that have to do with the place to be in China? If you haven't noticed because of this vote, the price of tea in China just went up by $1.30. What the hell is wrong with you?
Hey, but this is what he does. You know, if you look at all the clips, you know, and all the sound bites when Donald Trump is asked a serious question, he always find a way to make light of the situation. Always, when it comes to sexism, hey, I didn't start it. He started that. You know, hey, I didn't start this. You know, and he's going back.
He deflects because he's an idiot.
Yeah, you know, and
he deflects because he's an idiot.
Yeah, he is the worst damn deflector I've ever seen in my life. You know, a lot of people deflect and still kind of stay on course and try to, you know, make it about something else on the reason why it came up. But he completely goes totally off the grid with his brain, and his comments have no base. It's not even in the area code of the topic, and he thinks it's effective. And what he's really doing is making you even. I mean, first of all, you're in another country. You could probably get away with that crap in the United States, where people where our people have proven to be stupid when it comes down to you, because of all the votes that he's getting. But you're in another country where people already hate Americans. They already think we're arrogant as hell. They already think we're stupid as hell. They already think our education system sucks. And you add to that by, first of all, not even addressing the situation that they're facing right now. But you're talking about lighthouses. It's not important, guy. We give two crap about your mom and her stories. We don't care.
Not at all.
But he's not prepared for it. And had you kept your campaign manager, he probably would have had you abreast on it, and probably would have been able to, you know, have you ask a, you know, half of a question, you know what I'm saying, then fade off into something, you know. But you couldn't even answer a quarter of a question.
You know who he reminds me with? He reminds me with someone with Alzheimer's. He's like, you know, you ask me a question, so Donald, what do you think about, there was a day when I was walking to the store, and I remember it because I heard, you know, he always hears things. So I heard there was a guy over there that was trying to sell some property, so I went over there to take a look. So what the hell does that have to do with the question? Nothing to do with the question. All right, serious business, though. Let's get back to serious business. So, okay, so if you're not taken by any of the shit that we've just spewed to you for the past 30-something minutes, right? If none of that has resonated with you, if you're sitting there still like, family, I don't care. This means absolutely nothing to me. I don't live in the UK, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you where we're going to get you. The NFL is involved in this. The NFL for years have been planning on two expansion teams, one in Mexico, the other in Europe. Let me say that again. One in Mexico, the other in Europe. Where the hell you get this Mexico piece from, fam? Oh, so you didn't hear about that? You haven't been paying attention? Remember when the St. Louis Rams were thinking about moving and some other teams were thinking about moving? And one of the cities they were thinking about moving to was San Antonio? Why was that? Texas has enough teams. Why was that? to get closer to Mexico, to get more Latinos, more Hispanics involved in the game, to rile them up even more so. One in Mexico, the other one in Europe. You'll hear about Mexico pretty soon. Trust me. Check it out. It's going to happen sooner, much sooner rather than later. I think there's a game this year, right, in Mexico City.
Look,
I believe there's a game this year in Mexico City.
Yeah, well, yeah, so there's a game abroad every year, and they definitely have, they've expanded to Mexico City, and I think next year it's supposed to be a game in somewhere in Asia. They haven't decided whether or not it's going to be China or Japan. But every year, you know, because we've had the UK games for, like, what, the last, what, six seasons or something like that? And
I think even further than that, but that's cool.
Yeah, maybe even further than that. But they're definitely having, you know, again, Mexico City next year, and then, you know, in Asia in a couple of years on the line. So, again, if you don't know, you should know. And if you listen for the last 30 minutes, then now you know. Because there are a lot of ties and connections to the U.S. and why we should give a damn about what's going on.
Oh, but it gets deeper. So not only is there one game next year, there are three. The Jaguars are playing the Colts. And understand something, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars will become the London Jaguars. Understand and believe that, family. Understand and believe that. They have played more games in London than any other team. There's a reason for that. They're building a fan base over there. There's a reason for that, okay? So anyhow, the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to play the Indianapolis Colts in week four. The New York Football Giants are going to play the new Los Angeles Rams in week seven. And in week eight, the Washington Football Team, because we will not say their damn name, will play the Cincinnati Bengals. So this is weeks 4, 7, and 8. Now, the contingency plan is, if all hell breaks loose and things can't happen for whatever the reasons, these teams will play at home, and each team that was supposed to be a home team will get to play at on their home field, because they actually lose a home game when they go abroad. So, actually, you know, Indianapolis will come to Jacksonville, the Rams will go to New York, and the Bengals will go to D.C. I'm sorry, Maryland, because that's where FedEx Field actually is. It's not in D.C., it's actually in Maryland. Yeah, hate on me now, but the truth is the damn truth.
Yeah, it's Maryland.
Almost every game is sold out. Currently, almost every game is sold out. The NFL made $32 million last year. Again, $1 million last year. Off of ticket sales. $32 million off of ticket sales. That's how much they made.
That conversion rate.
Last year.
Kicked in.
So they are watching this shit hella close. Hella close. Because it's putting a little crimp in their plans. Trade agreements have to be rewritten. You have to now go back to the table and write direct trade agreements with the UK. What is the UK going to look like? Do we need to make trade agreements with the GB being Great Britain and Scotland and Northern Ireland, or do we just need to make trade agreements with the United Kingdom? I don't know. Don't know what this whole thing is going to look like. Again, this right here, family, this is ugly.
Right here,
this is going to be a very, very ugly divorce. A very, very ugly divorce. And it's going to be time-consuming. No one has the answers as to when it's going to all happen, how quickly it's going to happen, are there going to be some trip-ups, some hiccups, so on and so forth. So the saga continues. But let me tell you, family, about a saga that we've already talked about on the show. We talked a couple of months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, about a overseer being in place for the Oakland Police Department. Because they had some shit going on. It got worse this week. And over the past 10 days, 4 police chiefs, 28 officers, 2 suicides, and 5 police departments have been enthralled in a sex scandal. involving a teenage girl who was a prostitute. Sexual misconduct scandal has rocked Oakland, California, and its surrounding areas. The Oakland PD, as we reported before, is already under watch of a federal monitor and compliance director. This all stems from one Officer O'Brien, who on the 25th of September last year committed suicide. The suicide note detailed an affair that he was having with a sex worker. The sex worker was an underage girl. Officer O'Brien discovered her, she discovered him, because her pimp was chasing her down the street. Officer O'Brien saw it, he came in, intervened, got her away from the pimp. They later started a sexual relationship. She later started having sex with not only him, but other officers in other departments. She goes by the name of Celeste Guapa, G-U-A-P, Guapa, or Guap, however you want to say it. She received not only money for the officers, but also information as it pertained to prostitution busts. They were trying to save her, like, yo, don't go over here. We're going to come through there tonight. Well, guess what the hell she did with that information, of course. Hello. But anyhow, a total of 28 officers are involved, and the breakdown is 14 from the Oakland Police Department, 5 from the Richmond Police Department, not Richmond, Virginia. There's a Richmond, California as well. And you might not want to go there if you're not familiar. I'm just saying they don't play like that in Richmond. Alameda Sheriff's Deputy, 7. 1 Livermore Police Department officer, and 1 Central Coastal Sheriff Deputy. It gets deeper still. Officer O'Brien was married. His wife's death, which occurred on 16 June 2014, was ruled suspicious. He was married to one Irma Herrera Lopez. She was killed by the .45 caliber Glock that Officer O'Brien owned. He came in. He says they were arguing. He left out to get some cigarettes. When he returned, she was dead. He called 911. They responded. Coroner went through the whole thing and labeled it as suspicious. The compliance director, Richard Warshaw, alerted U.S. District Judge Felton Henderson about irregularities and potential violations of the order that was already in place. And this order was an old negotiation. It was a negotiation settlement agreement for a separate case, something totally separate. But in the case, the Oakland PD had been accused of and taken to court for planting evidence on people and beating people up. So, but this order required the department to notify the monitor of any internal investigations that were ongoing or had cropped up. Well, they didn't do it. So when he found out about it, he goes, tells the judge. The judge says, okay, well, you take it over. You know, they didn't tell you. Get in there and find out what's going on. This happened back in March. He took over the internal investigation over the officer's suicide, the wife's suicide, and immediately 2 officers resigned. Others were walked out the building. These actions happened within the first week of him taking over. Now, granted, in the entire 6 months before he knew about this, no action had been taken by the Oakland Internal Affairs. Nothing. Nobody lost their jobs. Nobody was brought in. No one was suspended. Nothing. The monitor has been in place since 2003, again, because of the accusations of planting evidence and beating up the suspect. In that case, no one was convicted. No one. One officer
fled prosecution. He ran. He's been on the run ever since 2003. Haven't caught him. The city, though, was forced to pay $10 million to over 100 plaintiffs and give up other things as part of the settlement agreement. Dog, this Blue Shield has to crack. This shit is ridiculous, man.
This is beyond Blue Shield, man. This is straight. It's almost on the lines of the mob. You know, this has prostitution. Like this kid, Celeste Guap, is what she called herself. You know, she says that this cop, the one who committed suicide, saved her because he didn't take her to jail. But all he really did was start pimping out. She started having sex with other officers, you know, more than likely through him. So he's probably pimping out, but they had a relationship also. Again, you got this murder that's been covered up, that's been identified as suspicious. So you leave it at that, because you probably don't have, you know, the corners or the ME. You probably don't have the ME in your pockets, you know what I'm saying, completely yet.
Right.
But the bottom line is, you got people covering things up as much as they can without looking too obvious. But this is this police department historically, for decades, has had this kind of reputation, and nothing has been done. So for me, I think it's beyond Blue Shield. The Blue Shield is, you know, a couple of people here and there. You got select few. This police department has bred this kind of behavior. It's like, it's almost like when they come through the police department, you're taught, hey, this is how we handle business. And we're protected by the government. We're protected by, you know, people internally. You know, this is our mob. It's beyond Blue Shield, bro. I mean, I think this is so deep that when I think that most people who have investigated it were afraid of their findings when they found it. And instead of turning hard evidence over and breaking a story, they get scared and they kind of get sucked into it. Because it's probably touching people that they didn't think it was going to touch, or they thought were clean, and these names start popping up and start digging. They're like, oh, hell no, I can't do this. And they either disappear from it, or they join it.
And see, what really popped out with me, when I read this on CNN, what really popped out with me about this is, here we go this week in Baltimore again. Another officer, third trial, no conviction. So Mosby is right now 0-3 in the Freddie Gray case. Okay? Now, what pisses me off about this entire thing is Freddie Gray did not kill himself. He didn't.
Right.
He wasn't injured to a point where it would have caused him death before he was arrested and thrown inside that truck. Yet, the state's attorney has yet to prove, to meet the burden of proof, that the actions taken by the officers during the arrest and from the time of the arrest to the time in which he was delivered to the police station causes death. Now, initially, I'm pissed because somebody had to pay. Then I'm pissed because these motherfuckers all in this together.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest trick that the devil ever played was to make people believe that he did not exist, right? So here she is saying, hey, we're going to take y'all to court. We're going to put one of y'all in jail. But on the side, she's like, nah, yo, I just got to do that for them. Got to make them feel good. Because at the end of the day, she can say, well, the judge said that we didn't have enough case, but we feel like our evidence was strong enough. And if people are emotionally charged, they're going to be like, yeah, she really did try. She did her best. No, she didn't.
True. But that's just like, it's like, well, Marsha Clark?
Yeah.
She just, during the OJ trial. She was terrible. She was horrible. But guess what? She made more money after the OJ trial than she did her entire years as a prosecutor. So go to Mosley. Mosby, right? Yeah, go to her. And she stands, she's set up to have the same kind of outcome. You know, I can't go too hard because, hey, I am, you know, the daggone state's attorney, and these folks did, you know, appoint me to this position, and I'm kind of in the bed with some of these people, you know, not literally, but, you know, I'm kind of in the bed with some of these people. So let me make enough noise for me to continue to win these elections and win these votes, but let me not, you know, destroy the lives of these black folks at the same time. Let me not destroy the lives of these people who kind of protected me over the years. You know, let me not mess with the blue too much, but let me make it seem like I'm for the people of the city. So you might be onto something, man. I never thought about that until just now, but you might be onto something.
Look, man, politics is dirty business. You know that, cuzzo. You ran for office. You know how it go. Politics is dirty business, man. Look, everybody's hand is out. Everybody's hand is dirty. That's just how it is.
And you're absolutely right. And in my 6 months of running for office, I immediately knew that it was not for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so glad that I did not get elected to that office because, again, I mean, people told me, yeah, you know, it's going to be dirty. People are going to come at you. But it wasn't the overt, you know, people come, you know, things that people did to come at me. It was the covert stuff. It was the stuff that people thought that was too stupid to realize, and they actually expected me to just be like, just go along with it. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not just going to go along with it because you have your plan. I'm the candidate, and you're the not even the manager. You're the chairperson of the committee, and you want to you know steer me into the direction that you want me to go into. Not happening. So for me to have seen that side, I could definitely see that what you're saying. I could definitely see that being the case with Moses.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to the specifics of what happened. So Officer Cesar Godson Jr., the only officer charged with murder, was acquitted on all counts. This is the second acquittal by Judge Barry G. Williams. He stated clearly the evidence didn't show the officer acted criminally. The prosecutors didn't show Mr. Gray was given a rough ride. The verdict cast a serious doubt and a huge shadow as to whether prosecutors can win any of the four remaining trials. There are four other people waiting to be tried in this case, and I think she's going to go 0-7. She can't drop it. Let's be honest. There have been, you know, talk, chatter, articles, op-eds where she should just drop. She can't. She can't walk away because she made this a central part of her campaign. She made this a central part of her and her campaign after she won the election. Let's be honest with that. You know what I'm saying? She made this a central part of who she is, her platform. She was going to see justice for the citizens of Baltimore. So she cannot just walk away from this. Not going to happen. However, she is in a bale of shit. You know, with people who are not emotionally charged and see her for who she really is, which is an inept prosecutor. Fuck it, I'm going to say it. I supported Never Don. We should have voted for Never Don. We didn't vote the brother in. We voted, and he was kept out. Let's be clear about that, too. Because the similar situation as you, he was kept out. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully the next go-around, we will get someone in whom will actually do what we need them to do. Their homework, first and foremost. First and foremost, do your damn homework, because this is embarrassing to see this judge just hand her damn lunch every time she comes in court. First off, do your damn homework. Secondly, make sure that you are ready to go to court when it's time to go to court, which branches off the first tenet. And lastly, get justice done. You can put Tyrone in jail, the little dude that started the fire at the during the riots. He got 14 years.
14 years.
He got 14 years. Now, there was some other stuff rolled up into that, but still, He got 14 years. He didn't kill anybody, but he got 14 years. Somebody's dead who did not kill themselves. And all their ass is going home.
Yeah.
That's a problem. While we're on the court system, let's stay on the court system. The Supreme Court, case 14-981, Fisher versus University of Texas. The Supreme Court of the United States of America rejected the challenge that using race in consideration of college admissions at the University of Texas, Austin, was against, violated her civil rights. So, they voted 4-3 in favor of allowing it to continue because allowing such as one factor allows universities to maintain a diverse student body. That was their ruling. In case 15-674, U.S. versus Texas, Texas got it going on, fam. There was a 4-4 vote. Tie court means whatever the lower court ruled stays because we only have 8 judges right now, folks. Remember we said about that when Scalia's ass passed away? We said how important it was to appoint that other judge.
And here it is.
So we wouldn't have shit like this. And here it is cropping up and kicking us in the ding-ding. Well, here it is. The upheld a lower court's ruling that the president's plan to shield millions of undocumented immigrants from deportation was unconstitutional. On February 15th, Judge Andrew F. Henning, federal district judge out of Brownsville, Texas, ruled to shut down the program that the president put into place. The government appealed that case to the appellate court, Fifth Circuit, in New Orleans, who turned back and affirmed the judge's ruling, which means they agreed with the judge. It went to the Supreme Court. It was a 4-4 split, and now we have millions of undocumented workers who are once again living in fear that tomorrow someone's going to come knocking on their door and kick them out. They've been here forever, have contributed to our economy, built roads, schools, kept your grocery store stocked, so on and so forth, raised their children, bought homes, yada, yada, you, yada, yada. But at any moment, someone can come in, knock on their door, and say, yo, you got to go. Now, dig where this comes from, because you might not be hip to this, but understand where this comes from. This is a money grab and a land grab, because if the Republicans get in, there will be parties out there that are hunting people out like, y'all want that house. Who lives there? Is he documented? Is she documented? What? Oh, no, that motherfucker's undocumented? Oh, yeah. We can get that.
But check it.
Let's kick him out.
This isn't the first time. This isn't the first time the government has done this, though. The government did this with I cannot remember. I think it was in South Dakota. Native American sisters, twin sisters, had all of their land taken from them recently. I'm talking about like in 2010. I think the final straw was. But tomorrow, rangers coming to their land, forcing them off their land, taking their horses. Because the government said that they had to leave the land and the land was supposed to be forfeited years ago. And, I mean, so it happens. So again, what you're saying is not something that people are like, oh, man, he's just crazy. He's talking. No, this is a well-documented thing in our generation in recent years that the government has actually gone into, and most of the time it's state government, has gone into people's property and actually taken their land. You have to go. You have no home. Disappear. Give me your land. This is not something that happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago. In 2010, I'm going to pull up the story, and I'll try to get the exact details, but it just came to mind when you mentioned it. And it definitely can and will happen with this ruling.
It's going to be ugly, fam. I'm telling you. And look, to continue my point, I see it, man. I see people because, you know, you got this whole see something, say something. Motherfuckers are going to start snitching. Like, oh, yo, they got a nice house. You know they're all illegal. Oh, for real? All of them illegal? That's that spot over there? Yeah, I'm about to get that. What you want to do? You got to go. You have to go. You can't pay the taxes, right? You're not living there anymore. You can't keep up on the property. There's going to be all kind of HOAs are going to pop up out of the woodwork, home homeowners associations. Well, Papa Hutter will work. Look, the grass wasn't cut. The paint started chipping. All kinds of shit to get people's property and get people's homes. Dog, it's on the wall. This is not hard to see. It's not hard to see. You could be Clayton Bixby and see this. The fictional character that Dave Chappelle played on his show, the black white supremacist. You can be him and see this. You can be Stevie Wonder and see this. You can be anybody and see this start to happen. This is how these folks are praying, knowing that the bit that Trump gets elected. If he does, it, man, look. It's going to be ugly. I mean ugly. Not only will an idiot be in the White House, and this may be a worse idiot than George W.
Clearly, man. I think by far he's worse.
Oh, is that even imaginable? Is that possible? Humanly? Hammers. I shudder at the thought. But moving on, and as we wrap, Cleveland, stand up! The Cleveland Cavaliers are the champions of the NBA, taking Game 7 in Golden State, final score 93-89. Curry had 17, Green had 32, Thompson had 14, Iguodala had 4, Livingston had 8, Barnes had 10. What in the hell happened to the Splash Brothers? Irving had 26, J.R. Smith had 12, King James had 27, Thurston Thompson had 9, or Tristan. How do you pronounce his name? Tristan, right? And Shumpert had 6. Notice Love's name ain't on here anywhere. You know Love about to go, right?
Oh, yeah. Love
that ain't working out. He's not the piece. He's not the piece they thought they were getting, and he's not working out there. He's not. He's even worse than the Chris Bosh piece in Miami.
I don't think Chris Bosh is bad. I don't think Kevin Love is bad. I think the situations took away from their games. It's hard. Kevin Love wasn't a ball dominant type player. But he needed the ball in his hands on the block to make things happen. But when you got LeBron and Tristan on the block at the same time, like, he can't do it. You can't do it. I mean, and then you do it for 2 years, and then all of a sudden your stock is diminished. Like, there's no way in hell you go from being a top 5, top 10 type superstar in the league or star in the league to all of a sudden you get traded and you're nothing now.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disputing that. Both in Miami and in Cleveland, I'm not saying they are bad. I'm saying the fit is bad. That fit just isn't working. You know, you needed LeBron to go in order for Bosh to come out and do more. But still, Bosh has a lot of health concerns, and that sidelines him more than enough. The trade that New York made, the stupidest trade, I think, for Derrick Rose. Why? Why would you trade for Derrick Rose? Let Chicago pay that man, let his ass retire. Like, you go, look, dog, you tried, and it ain't going to happen for you. You got the MVP out of it. You got the Rookie of the Year out of it. Bruh, you did your thing, but it's just not working for you. The Ravens with Pitta. Bruh, you tried. You got a championship ring out of it. It ain't working for you. It just isn't. We love you. We appreciate you. You have the skill set. Your body just won't hold up. It is what the fuck it is.
A little different. I feel a little different about the Derrick Rose thing. I think with Derrick Rose, I mean, it's like a blessing in disguise. Him not being able to play and not making it to the playoffs and kind of sparing his body, because, again, people were saying the same thing about D-Wade. People were saying how D-Wade was done, Flash is gone. No, he's not Flash like he used to be, but D-Wade is still balling. You know what I'm saying? And it took about 2 or 3 years of injuries and not making the playoffs and giving his legs that rest to him now making the playoffs this year and being in a position to have a better run next year. Because now he has his legs up under him. You don't – talent just don't just disappear like that, man. If you can ball, you can ball. If you have some injuries and stuff like that, it takes some people longer to kind of get the things back up, get their legs back under them. I think
the Knickerbockers don't have 2-3 years.
No, but no, they don't. But D Rose had 2 or 3 years already. So I think now this season coming up, I think he'll be able to perform a lot better and stay with the team a lot longer. He might not play every game. D Wade didn't play every game. He had rest. He had scheduled rest to allow his legs to recover and not put so much weight uh-huh. on his leg. Therefore, uh-huh. he was ready for the postseason, and then he was able to perform like crazy during the postseason. Like they could have had a longer run during the postseason if uh-huh. they had, you know, more pieces and stuff like that. I think the same thing is going to be done with D Rose. He's going to be given some breaks, some rest throughout the year, and then have him, you know, saved up for the postseason. Meanwhile, when he does play, he's going to put up 18 to 22 points a game.
Let's be real with this, okay? So Carmelo's been in the league, what, 13, 14 years now?
Yeah.
New York doesn't have 2-3 years. You know, Carmelo's ass is beat. Okay, I want to stick with the New York story. New York ass is beat. Like, I'm sorry, Carmelo's ass is beat. He reminds me of my man from who played at Cal and came into Boston. He plays for the Clippers now. Come on now. He held the Celtics down for a long ass time. Paul Pierce. He reminds me of Paul Pierce. When Paul Pierce went out and he shot the Celtics dream and he got Kevin and what was the other piece there? And he got
Ray Allen,
yeah, but the my point guard and somebody needs to pick that
Rondo.
Dude up. That would have been a better move for me. Getting him what's his name?
What's
his name? The point guard. Rondo, yeah,
Rajon.
Getting Rajon Rondo, I think, would have been a better move than getting D Rose. 100%. Rajon Rondo's basketball IQ is off the freaking charts, dog. You put him in a room with Phil and you get that zing going on, getting them on the same page, man, look. Now, that would have been hellaciously effective offense. That's a general.
And it still might happen.
Yeah, that's a general. That's a general on the floor right there. Rajon Rondo, that's a general right there. That's the dude you go to war with and be like, yeah, Rajon, let's make this thing happen, dude. Let's make this thing happen, dude.
It's not what happened. It's nothing wrong with having Rondo and Rose on the floor at the same time. And then at the same then when Rondo when Rose doesn't start, Rondo has a game by himself. When Rose doesn't play it, when Rose get those rest games, it'll be Rondo the whole game by himself. Then there's going to be some times where Rose and Rondo on the floor at the same time. There's going to be some times where Rose is on the floor and Rondo's not on the floor. You know, because, I mean, Rondo has had some injuries also, so he's going to need some rest. Popovich's scheme or game plan is pretty much like going around the league now. You rest your stars, you let some young kids get some bump, win games that they should definitely win. You let them get some bump, then you know you give your vets some rest. I think that's where they're gonna go with it, man. And I see it working. I don't see them going to the championship this year, but I do see them making it to at least the Eastern Conference Championship and facing Cleveland, and they might lose to Cleveland. I see it happening this year.
I think Cleveland gonna have a lot better with that pick they just picked up. That kid they picked up, that first pick, that dude's nasty, man. That's a great piece for them. But then Oklahoma got a hell of a lot better too with that kid they picked up from Orlando.
Oh, like, Oladipo? I was like, man, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
When I saw the first name, when I because like on ESPN it came up as Thunder trades Ibaka. I was like, why the hell they trade Ibaka? Then I saw who they got in the trade. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes perfectly good sense, man. Man, Victor Oladipo is a beast. Him playing next to Westbrook, oh my gosh, man. I see them coming out the West next year. I love Clay, Steph and Clay and the Splash Brothers and the Warriors. I love them, but they were already on the ropes against Oklahoma City. Now you add Victor Oladipo, who was a notch under Westbrook as far as his attack mode. The West is going to be a running team with Oklahoma City. They bring it to you.
Depending on what your boy does, what KD does, Durant, you know, he's meeting with a couple teams.
I think he's going to stay.
You know, so, you know, we'll see. But, look, again, end all be all, congratulations to Cleveland. First championship from any major sport in 52 years. Congratulations to them. LeBron, you get your third ring. Kyrie, you get your first. Congratulations, without a doubt. You know what I'm saying? And on that note, family, you got anything to add before we bounce out?
Hey, the only thing I have to say, man, is, you know, we need to get together, our nation, and have serious discussions and raise serious noise about gun control. Again, you know, me personally having witnessed, you know, friends and family, you know, fall victim to this issue. We need to take it serious, man. It's not just about the Orlando shootings. It's not just about the Sandy Hook shootings. It's not just about the massacres at the movie theaters and stuff like that. It's not just about Germany. Millions of people have lost their lives due to gun violence, and it's a conversation that needs to be taken seriously. But it's really going to take us banding together and raising the noise together, just like we do any other issue that we find important to us. So hopefully we can find some kind of resolution to it sooner than later. Until then, I'll pray for all my family and my friends, man.
And, you know, look, the weekend violence in Chicago continues to go on. As of the total right now, 7 killed, 34 wounded. It's ongoing, man. It's ongoing. Last weekend was Father's Day weekend. 13 people got killed, 43 people wounded. You know, fathers out here trying to celebrate their day, they're burying their children. The week after, what kind of shit is that? Look, it's not an issue, fam. It's a problem. The Dems sit down, they do a sit-in. They're doing a sit-in. In the House, Wednesday and the Thursday, I want to say. Look, these jokers got food and they got pillows. But what the hell? What kind of city y'all got? Where the brown bags?
What the cheese sandwiches and whatnot, bro? It's 2015.
You know, these jokers got caterers coming in. You know, kind of shit is this?
Where's the struggle?
The struggle is really real, ain't it? When you got caterers up in that piece, yeah, we really listening to your damn message. Where y'all get that food from? I'm trying to order. That look good as hell.
And that's why I said we had to have a serious conversation, because the sit-in was when I first saw it, I was like, oh man, yeah, this is good. But it lasted for 24 hours. And like you said, you got catering, you got this, you got that. Like, and then, you know, the Republicans, they go on break, and they like, oh, shit, I can't miss my break, so let me end this. For me, the big message would have been, we ain't leaving. We ain't going on break. We're going to sit here through the recess. We're going to sit here, and we're going to make this thing happen. We're going to go 24 hours a day, live feeds, and we're going to keep making a noise for at least for a week.
Bare minimum. A group stay. You know, boom.
Yeah.
You rotate out. Boom. Something. You know, let's make this serious.
until it's serious, until you are straight up embarrassed because your counterparts are willing to do the work while your ass is home chilling,
right.
And you ain't chilling, but you are chilling.
Right.
You're sitting in somebody's office taking a check. You're riding on somebody's plane taking a check, cutting some kind of deal because they want something that you know is not right for the people, but they put money in your campaign fund, so you're going to go back and fight for it. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's what the hell you're doing on this time off. You sit your ass there. You say, hey, week of my time is going to be locked down. I need to stay behind, fight this fight. I leave. Somebody else comes in, stay here, fight this fight, blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you something. And I spoke to this on with Rodney the other day, and I wasn't going to say it out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud. Let me tell you something. And this is with all due respect. With all due respect. Nina Turner, Lord have mercy. And that's all I got to say on that. Family, you all have a good day. You have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Don't hurt nothing. Don't hurt nobody. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Love, love, love.